Hello, everyone. We welcome you to our Sunday morning roundtable discussion. So glad you could join us. Today is Sunday, October 13th, 2019. We are recording from the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent, Plainfield, New Jersey, the United States of America. Thank you all for joining us. And we will start today with the morning prayer.
On page 147 of Miscellany. May this little sanctum be preserved sacred to the memory of this pure purpose and subserve it. Let the Bible and the Christian Science textbook preach the gospel which heals the sick and enlightens the people's sense of Christian Science. This ministry, reaching the physical, moral and spiritual needs of humanity, will in the name of Almighty God speak the truth that today, as in olden time, is found able to heal both sin and disease. Mary Baker Eddy.
Beautiful, thank you. Okay, and our watching point.
Watch number 87. Watch that you bear in mind Jesus' rule, quote, this kind cometh not forth except by prayer and fasting, end quote. The most efficient way to dispose of an animal that troubles you is to cut off its supply of food. Error is sustained by mortal man's belief in it, and truth is put into operation by being brought into consciousness as a reality. Fasting and prayer must mean denial and affirmation, starving air and accentuating truth. You starve air by making nothing of it, by refusing to acknowledge it, think about it, or believe in it. You feed truth and build up a consciousness of good by emphasizing it, affirming it, and trusting in it. Thus we have the perfect rule, starve air by seeing its nothingness until it falls and is self-destroyed from lack of support. Build up a consciousness of good until it becomes so real to you that you can feel its presence constantly. Trust in it as a power outside of yourself, which you reflect, and know that it is operating in the world and through you by your reflection of it.
Thank you. Very important. Any comments on it? This kind goeth forth not but by prayer and fasting. The disciples couldn't heal that one case with Christ Jesus because they were probably a combination of the truth and things that aren't true. And so this is our daily work, to fast from the negative false beliefs of the human mind, and not just that, but then fill ourselves with the truths that heal not only ourselves but everyone.
And Christian Science is the only way that makes it possible to do both of those at the same time, because everything else mixes, right? The truth with a little bit of false belief. So we can be so grateful for Christ Jesus for making the point on mostly dull ears, and for Mrs. Eddy for reestablishing, if you will, that truth, the comforter.
Anybody else?
This watching point really spiritualizes the idea of fasting, that even today is still, misinterpreted by most, and just how it's just very important and very it gives us a standard, and whether we can hold that standard or not, it's affects results, but at least it's practical in that we understand the direction that we need to go in.
Thank you.
Thank you. It is the plumb line, isn't it? We talked about it in the Bible study.
And, you know, the point being, too, I mean, there are many Christians and diets and things that have you really fast and not eat. I don't think that there's anything in Christ Jesus' teachings that means that, although there were times when he went up into the mountain that I'm sure he didn't eat. He wasn't thinking about it. So anyway, in science, we always interpret things metaphysically. Thank you, Michael.
I think it's also so easy to think that you're fasting the error, because I remember what I used to do. You know, I would keep saying, but I'm knowing the truth about it, but I wasn't fasting the error, which didn't allow the purity of thought or the transparency, as he says, for you to be the reflection of the truth. So just a caution, you know, when you're saying that I'm doing it, that thought again.
Thank you. Because if you keep dipping into your past and the injustices or problems that you had or perhaps are still having, if you keep doing that, you're not fasting the error. You are feeding the error, just like that Cherokee tale where you're feeding the wolf. Wolf will grow.
And Mary, you mentioned also when you not to become too immersed in the belief to the point where I guess you're trying to pray away the problem to the point where you're constantly acknowledging the existence of the problem. And I think that's part of this too, that there's this distinction that needs to be made where some time needs to be devoted to the claim, but not to the point where you're constantly feeding it while you're trying to work on it. And
thank you. No, that's a very good
very
point.
Very good point, because yep. That's not working on it.
No,
that's not handling it.
I think I told you years ago when Mrs. Evans, she had a few 2 weeks classes at one point, and she had us write treatments. And I got up to read my treatment, and it was all negative. It was all about the problem. And then at the end, I said a few things, well, God is all, God is good, or something, tacked it on the end. But I didn't know how negative my treatments were. So sometimes it's a good exercise to write down what you are actually thinking and seeing how much is on the allness of God, and that's certainly what we're taught here in your treatments, in your watch. You start out always the omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence of God. Establish that in your thinking, and then you touch lightly on the problem. You can be specific, but you touch it lightly, and then you go back to the truth. So when you're done with your treatment or your watch, you feel exhilarated and peaceful and calm and sure of the allness of God, not, oh my gosh, it's just terrible what I'm having to work on. That's the indicator. It's a good indicator. Now we'll get into our subject, are sin, disease, and death real? And the golden text, Proverbs, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. And I think I want to start today with Florence's statements in the forum. Florence, you did two. Well, and it starts with the golden text and then the Bible. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." Example of fasting. Okay, Florence, did you find your forum?
Yeah, I just love the, you know, where it says, "I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." If through God's love and kindness, He will not remember our iniquity, I think we have to also be ready to just let it go, let the past go. Because it's a, I know it's not easy, I'm not saying it is, but the effort to always remember, to be in the now of what I know now God knows about me, and not recall the past all the time. It can be so-called tenacious, keep going, thinking back, oh, I did this and I did that, all the perpetual guilt, self-depreciation, which leads to feelings of unworthiness. And how mortal mind operates to keep us in the bondage, it keeps it going. I think, thank God, through Christian Science, we can renew our awareness of our birthright and true heritage and be free. God is the only lawgiver, the only power, whose laws alone should govern us. When we allow the false sense of unworthiness, we do indeed separate ourselves, at least in belief, from His harmonious kingdom. Open the door of thought widely for all the mortal false laws to enter and walk all over us. I suffered that, that's why I say, no more to the lies.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. So easy to let all these past thoughts or any kind of negative thoughts just dwell. And this is not the fasting that's required. You can be glad. If the things in the past have led you to where you are now, then be grateful. They taught you lessons. Be grateful for the lessons and your growth. But let it have no more sting or bitterness in your heart and soul and mind.
And how is it that God will remember their sin no more?
Why? He never made you.
Because God does not know you. He never saw it in the first place. And that is its unreality. And that's why when we handle it, we see its nothingness, then we are seeing clearly as God sees. This is all part of being God's image and likeness. To see God's reality and to see the nothingness of anything that is unlike God. Yesterday, we talked about hating evil. Well, this is what it means to hate evil. To say, no, you are totally illegitimate. You are nothing. Not even real. And the reason that you can do that, it is your prerogative, is because it's true. And that's the power that it has to heal.
I love in the lesson, and I looked it up, and then I saw Suzanne did too, but knowing the falsity of so-called material sense, you can assert your prerogative to overcome the belief in sin, disease, and death. Prerogative, special privilege or right, and then especially heredity or an official right. We have the right, a God-given right. When we are obeying God the best we can, we have this prerogative to do this, to destroy the beliefs of sin, disease, and death. Do we realize this? And it says it in many different ways. Assert means to affirm positively, declare it with assurance. And in Science and Health, a statement before, I hope, dear leader, I'm leading you into the understanding of your divine rights, your heaven-bestowed harmony. These are your divine rights. It's also, I'm sorry, it's both citation 9 in the lesson. And then also in 8, like the great exampler, the healer should speak to disease as one having authority over it. God, this is a God-given right. A God-given right to do this, to destroy these beliefs, not only for ourselves, but for others. And, well, in one of the definitions, it wasn't 1828, but it quoted Bobby Brown, who's a singer. But anyway, he said, I don't need permission, make my own decisions. That's my prerogative. I guess it's one of the songs. So,
we have permission from God.
Yeah, right. We have permission from God. We have permission for liberty and freedom and all of these things. It brings out over and over and over, these things are illusions, and that's false deception, unreal dreams, waking dream shadows. So exercise your prerogative. Your special right, inherited, yes, inherited from your father. Official, yes, officially declared upon you. This is son and daughter of the king, with a capital K. So,
we don't have permission for anything else.
We don't have permission for anything else, that's right.
Yes.
And also Florence wrote about engaged in a warfare of extermination. And this also goes with fasting, right?
Yes.
So you want to speak to that?
Well, that's what he's saying, that the 5 corporeal senses cannot take cognizance of spirit. They cannot come into the presence of his into his presence and must dwell in dreamland. Until mortals arrive by the understanding that the material life with all its sin, sickness, and death is an illusion against which divine science is engaged in a warfare of extermination. Extermination. So I can't be on both sides. I must fight as the soldier on the right side, God's side, and not permit all this to keep, you know, going on. And I think when we think that we're doing it not just for ourselves, but for the world thought, the whole world, that gives more enthusiasm to do it.
Thank you. And may I be very wise, because you cannot be on both sides, yes. Back and forth, and you have to stay on the right side knowing it. So,
because no soldier fights on both sides, right?
Yeah, that's a great example. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? Possibly. And that's why you have to be so sure which is the right side and stay on it. And this goes back to studying our Bible, our textbook, and prose works. You know, Amanda, her readings on Wednesday were beautiful. And so many of those statements she read were things that Mrs. Evans had given us to work with, to make our own. Please have your textbooks at hand and read them every day and write notes and look up words and get very, very familiar with what's in that textbook and the Bible and prose works. Now, I'm going to dip into something else now. I mentioned this last week. I think this goes with our lesson, Our Sin, Disease, and Death Real. Last week, I told you there was someone who had called me from Texas. Now he's a dear friend from Texas. And he wrote his testimony up about what happened to him. And he wrote it in quite in detail. And I'm not going to read all of it. I pray I give you the most important highlights of it. But it's a very important issue. And I will begin. He says, Dear Plainfield Independent Church, I'm writing you today to express my overwhelming gratitude for the Plainfield Church for Mary Baker Eddy and the truths she shares with us through her books, and also to warn people of the dangers of practicing alternative interpretations of Christian Science. I am or was the poster child for what has gone wrong with the Christian Science establishment. I sincerely hope that what happened to me can serve as a lesson on what not to do while attempting to practice Christian Science. So he goes on. He says when he was a freshman in high school, he attended a boarding school which advertised itself as a Christian Science religious school, with every staff member supposedly being a practicing Christian Scientist. I was born into the religion and saw this as an awesome opportunity. So he said not long after moving across country, he in playing sports, football, he suffered a very severe accident. And he said that no one really expressed much concern about it. When he talked to me, he said that even a practitioner wasn't called. Pretty much nothing was done. They told his parents that, you know, something had happened, but it was nothing much. And he said, I was hearing phrases from the adult staff like, "ERA doesn't exist, you are fine." I was told that I was okay because this injury had never happened. I was pretty confused and was having a hard time thinking clearly. He said he was in a lot of pain and other things, which I won't go into. And I was instructed by several different adults that I shouldn't be a quitter and that I needed to get back on the football field and demonstrate I was God's perfect child. Then he goes on to say that because of this, he started to say what he calls pretend and ignore. He pretended he was fine. He ignored all any symptoms he had. Now, honestly, in thinking about it, before I knew Mrs. Evans, I used to do this too. I just ignored things or pretended they weren't real because I didn't understand the science. It's very dangerous. So he said, after several years of pretending my way through this ordeal, I concluded that Christian Science was completely flawed and that Mary Baker Eddy was wrong. I left the religion entirely because I could see that sticking my head in the sand with regards to all of these challenges was not helping me. I was actually getting worse. I decided to see if modern medicine would help. So he took that route. The doctors told him he had a serious injury. He
broke his neck.
And they performed an operation on him. He said he was in bed for 3 years. He couldn't work for 8 years. He was in tremendous pain and other things that I won't go into. So finally, they were giving him morphine to control the pain. Finally, due to an overdose of morphine, he said he died, in quotes. You know, he was gone for a while but came back. Then he thought, I began to consider that perhaps Mary Baker Eddy was right when she warned us about medicine. Okay, so then I picked up a used copy of Science and Health to investigate where it all went wrong. I began reading and rereading the textbook a little every day. I started to realize that maybe my experience wasn't what Mrs. Eddy had in mind when she started this religion, which we call the rules and laws of the universe. Then I stumbled across the Plainfield CS Church YouTube page. I began listening to the services, the Bible studies, and the roundtable discussions for hours every day, and would even play them all through the night as I would sleep. These programs would give me hope that the truth really could set me free from my existential hell, and gave me credible reason to question the establishment as it exists today. After about 3 months into my second voyage into Christian Science, I was questioning everything. The discussions in the Plainfield Church videos helped me to realize that the establishment itself was suffering from systematic error and that it had wandered astray from its leader and our understanding of truth. I can see very clearly where it all went wrong for me with Christian Science and why I and so many others have lost faith and abandoned the religion. And then he goes into the problems about how wrong it is to pretend and to ignore error, that it has to be confronted and healed. Mrs. Eddy writes, a knowledge of error and of its operations must precede that understanding of truth which destroys error, science and health. Ultimately, if you cannot discern the difference between truth and error, then you can easily be confused and misled. The people who led me astray by telling me that error did not exist and that nothing had happened and I had no problems to overcome had severely sabotaged my understanding of Christian Science and fundamentally undermined its overall effectiveness. To this day, the staff and legal representation at the CS boarding school will stand by their actions regarding the treatment of my injury and say they made no errors. I am so very grateful to inform you that authentic Christian Science has helped me to such an extent I've been able to discontinue all pain medications. The symptoms of brain damage have entirely vanished. I no longer experience any mental defects. Goes into the other systems, symptoms he was having, which were horrific. The 25-year-long pain and numbness that had been pondering death on that had me pondering death on a daily basis has faded to a minuscule whisper, and I expect it will be gone entirely by the time I finish my current voyage through science and health. Says he's also was healed of suicidal thoughts, and my future is finally looking bright. I cannot express the level of never-ending gratitude I have for authentic Christian Science, for Mrs. Eddy and her writings, for my practitioner, and for your Plainfield Independent Church and the truth that it preserves. I know that Mrs. Eddy and Christ Jesus are proud of you for what you are doing. You may never find out how many people you are helping with your independent church services and its online presence, but please know that we are out here and we are grateful. I look forward to your next video and to your continued success. Now, one letter like that makes it all worthwhile. It was hard to read it. But you see, when the truth is portrayed in the right fashion, it heals. All he had to do was listen to the truth. Truth makes free. It unwinds your snarls. And I have other people telling me, some they never contact a practitioner. They just listen to what's being said, to the videos, all those YouTubes, the 4,000 of them. And healing begins. And they start studying the textbook and find out what really she is saying. You don't take it secondhand. I was very grateful last week, Ray and her forum comments. It's interesting because every once in a while there are quotes that I'm looking for. They're kind of in my head. Not sure exact quote, not sure where I got it, but often one of you will send me the quote that I'm looking for, and I know that's no coincidence. You hear it mentally. Well, anyway, so she sent me this one, which I've been looking for. It came from We Knew Mary Baker Eddy, third series. We never, quote from Mrs. Eddy, we never can know who is in reality a Christian Scientist until he is tested under fire. Then what is left are the dregs, unfit for use, till purged and purified, or they are qualities that evil cannot destroy and are held by the power of God. This dear soul, I feel like giving him a standing ovation for his perseverance. I mean, but so many, once they get into the medical, that's it. They're gone. But he had the perseverance and also the intelligence to figure out, well, this isn't right either. And he came back. And God blesses him for that. So when you're under fiery trials, just remember this. You're getting burned. until nothing is left of you except what can be of use to the Father. And you've got to let that process happen. He did. Because when you take the drugs, and I'm not condemning anyone who does that, I understand why you would, and certainly why he did. But it's a Band-Aid. It will might give temporary relief, but eventually you're going to have to face the demons, so-called demons, that have hounded you, and burn them out and get to the truth of your real being. Now, I would like comments on all of this.
I do have to say he also overcame a hatred or anger or resentment, because some of the people who've been through that have not.
Thank you. Yes.
That's a very powerful thing.
Yes.
You're right.
I think that's crucial.
I have a close relative who had a bad experience in a Sunday school and has a totally negative attitude towards Mrs. Eddy, towards Christian Science. And he hasn't gotten over it. And it's too bad. I mean, it's a shame. The people take it personally. This fellow did not take it personally. The science was still in his heart somewhere.
Yeah, there must have been. There was something very good in him that led him out of that situation. And it was the science, definitely the science, probably, that he'd gotten in his home.
In my situation with my back, at one point I went to the doctor. Well, workers' compensation said I had to go see this doctor. So I went to the doctor, and he told me that he was going to remove a section of my spinal cord and, a metal spinal cord in there or something. And all I could think of was that you're going to remove something that God made and put in something man-made in my back, I couldn't even fathom that. You want to take a part of my body that God and remove that, but I refused to have it done. And so after working with my practitioner for quite some time, it really wasn't about my back, because we worked on the issues of my past and the anger that I felt about my past, abused and dealing with all that. And then when I was finally able to forgive my past and move out of that, the pain in my back stopped.
Thank you, Luann.
In regards to the testimony, I just think that that process that he describes of going from what he was told to think about Christian Science, and then evolving or progressing until he had his own independent study and understanding of Christian Science, really is sort of what Plainfield is making much more accessible to people. They have to get their own, they have to make it their own, irrespective of what the Boston Church says. And I think that is probably dangerous or threatening to them, but that's what I think all of us have to do, and that's what this, despite the challenges we face.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Betty says, your own. And that's true for each one of us. It's true for our children. It's true for our grandchildren.
Yeah, you see, there were red flags in what he said. I mean, ultimately, we all know you're not born into Christian Science. You have to find it out yourself. You have to study it. But you know, he was an innocent. He was a child. You think you're born into it. I mean, I know a lot of people think that, but you do have to find it for yourself, which he ultimately had to do the hard way. And also, I'm grateful. I'm going to speak this because Mrs. Evans, very plain speaking. One thing she said about football, and this was years and years ago, the violent sport. You shouldn't have your kids play it. Of course, a lot of people love football. Gary played it. Gary was a punter. And I know I'm probably maybe horrifying many people in this but she said it, and I'm grateful our son played it for one year and then switched to soccer. And Mrs. Evans loves sports, as I talked to you about. Roller skated, she skied, she swam. She was very active that way. But football, she felt, was violent. I mean, you're out there charging each other. So she was outspoken about that. And I know Gary said when a Christian Science school tried to recruit him, they wanted him to play football. These things are unwise. They're not common sense. You throw your kids into the situation. Is any prayer going on? Is anybody praying for these children? Probably not. I didn't know to do that until I met Mrs. Evans. And if your child isn't a sport, you darn well pray for them and pray about it and pray for the team. People I work with know this. You don't just throw them out there to the wolves. Good God. And then the other thing she was very outspoken about, and again, I know I'm treading on toes most likely, but are these Christian Science schools any of the institutions? I never read anywhere where Mrs. Eddy said to do that. When you get a group of Christian Scientists together and there's no prayer going on, there's nobody handling animal magnetism, you're just ripe for something to happen. And the reason Mrs. Evans said these things was she was having to pick up the pieces, especially the Christian Science camps. But I'm grateful. In reading this, I'm grateful she spoke to me that way, which is why I'm speaking to you today this way. It's not common sense. It is good intentions, GI minus W equals evil. Good intentions minus wisdom. You don't do stupid things and expect God's going to take care of me. Everything's fine.
And if you name the name of Christian Science, you are a target. So beware. Just beware that you set yourself up as a target. Not to be afraid of it, but be so wise that error cannot reach you. And if you're not going to be wise, don't name the name of Christian Science.
As we've talked about, it's nothing to dabble in. So much has been done in the name of science, which has not been science, which is why it has this, in many places, such a terrible reputation. And I also received an email recently, someone who was following us and attends a branch church. And she heard, I forget which round table it was, but she said, you know, that I was bashing Christian Science. It was hateful. And she loves her church and everyone is good to her and all of this. So I said, well, I really didn't mean to bash it. I certainly don't feel hateful toward it, but I feel I have to be honest and speak the truth. Who's telling of the foe and ambush? And then I said, great, if you love your church, let there be no strife between my brethren and thy brethren. I mean it sincerely. Maybe it's a great church there, and there's certainly very, very good Christian Scientists the world over. But this sort of thing has to be addressed. And we talked about it a few weeks ago. I believe there was that letter from a Caroline Frazier who had a terrible experience. And anyway, Florence wrote a beautiful letter telling the truth about the lie. Because in that letter that she wrote, which she was having all these horrible experiences and now hates science, she said that, what was it? Her dad was full of hatred and resentment. She obviously was full of hatred and resentment. You can't ignore if you're hateful and resentful and are having problems, just as Luann was saying.
Yeah. Because that's not Christian Science.
Yeah, it's not.
What Frazier was complaining about was not Christian Science, but it was in the name of Christian Science. Mm-hmm. And it was not.
It was not. And the other thing with these schools and camps naming the name of Christian Science, and Mrs. Evans would say this too, and I saw it in the practice as well. You have a parent who maybe is not practicing science. So they send their kid there. It's, oh yeah, they'll go there and they'll get it and everything will be hunky-dory. Well, again, that's a terrible thing to do to a child. If you're not living it and loving it and you just push it off on someone else to teach them, no. And this boy, and he was a boy, he was an innocent. And thank God, I mean, I wept when I read the letter the first time, and I just thank God that he's coming out of it and that he found us. And we must pray for this. You know, Carpenter once said, and we need to reverse this, but if you found science and if you've had a bad experience, you will never come back. Well, he proved this wrong. This dear fellow. So now, go ahead, Florence.
No, I think this is a wonderful demonstration too, because he really has proven what Mrs. Eddy says, that when people think that they can use other methods, other alternatives, at some point you let them. But okay, in his case, it wasn't his choice, I'm sure, initially, but because of the circumstances, it led him there. But at least he went there and it's proven to him the other side. So now he comes back, and he comes back with more conviction of what Mrs. Eddy taught. And I think that's just beautiful, because there's that, people throw it out there, well, why can't I use this as well as this, and all these things. And that's what she addresses in the science practice, in Christian Science practice.
And we say, go ahead if that's what you want to do. But, you know, and learn as he did learn. You know, they told the medical said it's not curable, but you have, no one can cure it. And as I spoke about once in a testimony, incurable, the cure comes from within, nothing without, no bandage, no doctors, nothing, in God, the kingdom within me, that is what heals. And it always will, and it always has done. And also what Ray wrote in her forum was, on one occasion, Mrs. Eddy said to him in substance, and Calvin Fry is who she's writing to, "The first thing I do in the morning when I awake is to declare that I shall have no mind before the divine mind and become fully conscious of this and adhere to it throughout the entire day. Then evil cannot touch me." Many times she said to him, "All my hours are his." A beautiful statement. And I'm sure that's where Mrs. Evans got for us to start the day with, God is mine, God is my mind, God is the only pure and perfect mind. And then to go on with other things, life, health, joy, vision, whatever you need. But these are the things we do. We do it in the morning. We do it during the morning, at lunchtime, afterwards, during the evening, before you go to bed. It's the prayer without ceasing.
Didn't she also say every few moments all day long?
Yes, every few moments all day long. That was in one of the articles, Day, that you have on the carousel. To acknowledge all good coming from him. This is being a Christian Scientist. But it takes this dedication. This other stuff is bogus. And it was Jeremy who used the word authentic. He has that somewhere. Authentic, he likes that word. Okay, any more comments on this? It was very hard to read, and I just, go ahead, please.
I just want to say that, you know, basically the people at that school, they're very, very fearful. They can't step out of line. So they might have been thinking that they needed to help that football player do something different. But they're not permitted to.
Talking about the coach and the teacher.
Yeah, it's a very stifling atmosphere. So you have to follow the party line or else. That's it. Wow. And in general, Christian Scientists are spineless. They're not tough. They're followers, you know.
And this is from someone who went through the Christian Science schools all the way, right, Thomas?
Well, 7 years.
7 years. Okay, thank you.
You attended that school.
You attended, yeah. I'm trying not to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Trying to keep it.
Oh, yeah. I was even there recently, so, oh,
right.
Yeah.
Right. But so. doesn't that show the human mind in control? Mm-hmm. When people are fearful and feel like they have to follow the party line? I mean, where's the plumb line? Where's God's plumb line, right?
Yes.
It's interesting that Jesus prayed to the Father in John for his disciples not to be taken out of the world, but to be kept from the evil.
Thank you. That's beautiful.
Very good.
Yes. Well, so this is why we speak plainly here. And our audience is wide and varied. And so if we can help one soul like that one, then thank God. Thank God. And I thank Mrs. Evans for what she taught us here. Go ahead, Thomas.
I'm just saying that being wide and varied, like you said, is so important because there's always going to be people who call in or are members of the Plainfield Church, and we have different ways of looking at things, and not to be so quickly critical of someone because they think slightly differently, you know, because we don't have a party line at this church, you know?
It's true.
I mean, we have important principles and values, of course. That doesn't take that away from, but, you know, not everybody thinks the same, and we have to have that freedom. That's what I'm talking about, is freedom, independence. You're a Christian Scientist who's, you know, should feel free to practice it, okay? Not under some sort of ecclesiastical strictures.
So right. True. Thank you. And that's what's so wonderful, because you're all demonstrating your positions. You're all getting ideas for Bible studies, for fixing up the Sunday school room, for translations, all these things. You're coming up with these ideas. You're free to be what God made you. But you're also getting this week after week after week, this teaching, keeping this plumb line there. So you know what it is, and you can't and don't want to deviate from it. And it is the pearl of great price, and it does heal. And as we talked about, remember your authority over it, your prerogative over sin, disease, and death. And I love, and we must form perfect models in thought and look at them continually, or we shall never carve them out in grand and noble lives. Let unselfishness, goodness, mercy, justice, health, holiness, love, the kingdom of heaven reign within us, and sin, disease, and death will diminish until they finally disappear. And as I've told you, that was a prayer that we were taught to teach our little children. I remember my children saying this every night before they went to bed. And Charlie, what did you write about that beautiful prayer?
Yes, I love that prayer. You gave it to me years ago, and I do watches for children, for other people, for all mankind. And that's one of the prayers I use. And so I looked it up because we're going to use it in Sunday school. And did you want to use some of the things?
Yeah, some of the definitions, sure.
Well, unselfish giving. I kept it very simple. Giving to others, not putting yourself first.
Excellent.
And for goodness, I kind of made up my own because I use what I learned here. Good is another name for God. That's what I learned, and I love that. So God is good, so you are good. And also that you do the right thing because of goodness. And then mercy is compassion or forgiveness, reaching out to help. Justice, genuine respect for people, treating people kindly, fairly, and it's the golden rule. And we have health, free from illness or injury. Holiness is total devotion to God, perfect in goodness. And then love is deep affection, patient, kind, caring, honest, loyal.
Isn't that wonderful? Thank you. You let those things, the kingdom of God, dwell within you. And all of this other stuff diminishes until it finally disappears. And that has been my experience in science. I focused on those qualities that I needed and working on that, not on my problems and not everything that needed changing, but I focused on what I needed to learn more about God, what my yearning for Him, and reading the textbook, studying it, letting it fill me up. And that is what brings healing. So now this dear fellow can know. When you get the truth, then you know, well, it wasn't true. It wasn't any more true than a bad dream, as we started the conversation out with. We don't go back to the past or give it reality. We let it go and know that it led him to this point where healing is ever available, and already the effects it's been having on him from 4 months of him just listening
to the truth.
To the truth.
Saturating himself.
Saturating himself. Fill your home with these truths and be wise in your application. Please do not do stupid things. Be wise. Good intentions must have wisdom from above, and that's the only place you get wisdom. So we will end from Science and Health today, 495.
Recapitulation. When the illusion of sickness or sin tempts you, cling steadfastly to God and His idea. Allow nothing but His likeness to abide in your thought. Let neither fear nor doubt overshadow your clear sense and calm trust that the recognition of life harmonious, as life eternally is, can destroy any painful sense of or belief in that which life is not. Let Christian Science, instead of corporeal sense, support your understanding of being, and this understanding will supplant error with truth, replace mortality with immortality, and silence discord with harmony.
Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.